Well met, friends. My name is Adam, and this is the Get Pipe Podcast, where we love to pipe. Today, well, as always, I am joined by my good friend Nick, aka the producer guy. Nick, what's up, man?
Hey, Adam. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm solid. It's been actually a really beautiful day out in North Carolina. The weather was cold, kind of chilly, but it was like autumn-y. Nice. It was good. Make some chili and watch some football weather, which was weird. We're getting very, very far away from that. But yeah, it was a pretty good day. Pretty good Monday. Recording this on a Monday before this goes live, which is pretty cool. How about you, man? How was the weekend? You had a cool little excursion with the getaway.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. Like it was great to get away. I had no stress, no worries. The kiddos were at the grandparents, so like producer wife had her own weekend. You know, that first night she sent me a little picture with a glass of wine. I was like, yeah, love that. Broke out the real glass, the real stem. You know what I mean? So
okay.
Instead of the stemless glasses you kind of have to have with small children around. But what else? Yeah, man, I smoked cigars. I actually didn't smoke any pipes. I was telling people about the podcast, telling people about Flannel Coffee, which was really cool. One guy was like super interested. He's like, this guy's like an entrepreneur and all this stuff. Like I think he might have been grew up around here, but he definitely was like a surfer guy, like kind of talk like one, but he was really cool. He was actually in the Navy and then flew for Border Patrol, like flew Blackhawks for Border Patrol, and was telling me a crazy story about them working midnights and then at 8 a.m. going for tequila shots in Miami. He did not want to do that. He's like, I would rather sleep. But apparently those guys are wild.
Not enough.
Anyways, great weekend. Got some smokes in, which I loved. Love doing that. And just really enjoyed. My body hurts. Played Ultimate Frisbee and some basketball, which I haven't done in like 2 years. So it's weird to do like... It was weird to move not in a single motion, like a bench press or a squat.
It is also, for me, for some reason, funny to think about non-professional adults playing sports. I don't know. I know, like, it's fun. Like, we do it in the Army. Like, we have, like, a, you know, turkey bowl.
Yeah.
We do, you know, a sport PT every now and then. But it is, I'm, like, thinking about all of these old men just...
Yeah.
Playing basketball or throwing a frisbee around, but yeah, it's good. It's good to get out there and get around.
Yeah, it was. And there were some younger guys there, which was cool to hang out with, but there were definitely a lot of gray hairs there. Which is good because you get around this sort of
wisdom.
You get to wisdom, which was really interesting. It was put to me a very interesting way what wisdom is, and he was basically just like a teacher. He's with a group called Young Life, like the regional area director or whatever. And he talked about, this is getting a little brother to brothery, but I'll be quick. Wisdom is like the grain on wood. Like if you go with the grain, it's really easy to go like as you're planing it. But if you go against the grain, it like splinters and is really hard. But one thing about the grain is you can go with it, you can go against it, but you can never change it, which is really interesting. And so his argument was wisdom is going with the grain rather than against the grain. And it's just a really cool, it was a really cool comparison. A lot of stuff I took out of this weekend, a lot of notes and stuff I took, and I was actually able to lead a little group with some guys. It was like three other guys, four other guys, and great conversations. Broke down a lot of barriers, broke down a little walls. You know, it was just great. So rejuvenated, ready to podcast, man. I'm excited, ready to be here.
Hell yeah, I like that. Yeah, we. what did I do? I had Friday off, which was pretty cool, and I don't think I did too much this weekend.
Good.
I don't know. We've been so all over the place with travels and I'm beat. I am beat, but it was good to, I think, I don't even remember, do nothing. I'm pretty sure I did nothing. This was just a couple days ago. I'm just kind of in a fog. But I've been thinking about pipes, thinking about tobacco. And yeah, I'm excited to get into the podcast today. But let's, before we get super into it, I will make a couple corrections from last week. Okay. So last week we had talked about some heavy hitters, some celebrity folks coming in, talking about the Dos Equis guy, the most interesting man in the world. We're prepared. I have the proper corrections. I had said specifically Stephen Goldsmith. Don't know who the hell is. Who's Stephen Goldsmith? I don't know. Maybe that is a person, but that's not who was there. Jonathan Goldsmith is the guy's name. And unfortunately, I didn't get to like, I don't know if I had talked about it, but I didn't get a picture with him, even though my father would have loved that. Oh gosh, he would have loved that so much. Cause my dad's the kind of guy who will still text me like, who's that guy? Chuck Norris memes. Like he'll still like text me like, did you know Chuck Norris doesn't sleep? He waits. You know, he'll do stuff like that. And like, dad, this would have been so hilarious in 2003. But yeah, like, so just the fact that I was, you know, in the same room as the most interesting man in the world, my dad would, oh my gosh, he'd lose it. So I didn't get a photo with him. I really wish I did, but I figured so many people were, and I don't know, I didn't want to ruin, but he, like, it comes with the, you know, the tricks of the trade. You know, if you're going to be the most interesting man in the world, you're going to expect to get a picture or two. So I kind of regret that, but that was Jonathan, not Steven. And then another thing I talked about, this one always kind of trips me up, even though we did talk to Tim Garrity directly in our What's Up in Smoke, or actually our most recent What's Up in Smoke, which is kind of a bummer, man. We're finding out that scheduling these interviews is not as easy as, you know, not a little bit easier said than done.
Yeah.
So I'm very proud of old Get Piped for maintaining a one a month interview setup.
True.
We'd like to get back to that. But anyway, so Tim is the president of the club, right? We knew this. We knew that he was president of the Chicagoland Pipe Collectors Club, I think it's called, the CPCC, the Chicago Pipe Club. There it is. He's the president of that. But that has a very, very, very heavy, heavy, heavy hand in the planning and organization of the show. That said, he is not the president of the show. He is not the overarching, you know, string puller for the show. Yet, like I said, has a very important role in the planning of the show, just like the rest of the members of the Pipe Club. All of the volunteers are from the Pipe Club. You know, it's one of those things where they're essentially synonymous. They're essentially cinnamon. But they're not actually like, there's going to be some overlap and a little underlap, I guess. But our good friend Ronnie, who were we talking about, he is the actual president. He's the newest president of the show itself. So just wanted to make that correction there. As always, if we're ever getting something wrong, missing the mark on something, you know, send us your feedback, and I would love to get it corrected in the next episode. Ideally, I'm never making issues. We're never making you know, false claims or being incorrect in any capacity. That would be ideal for the listener. We're here to be, you know, professional and do our best. But man, that's, like I said, we're doing our best. So yeah, anyway, that's put that aside. Now we can talk about more smoking and joking. But also kind of a correction. I think I talked about No Name, Blend No Name from LJ Peretti after I'd picked it up from my little weekend and over the Easter weekend, went over to LJ Peretti. And I had talked about in my favorite pipe, or my current favorite pipe tobaccos video, this is probably my most recent YouTube video, that No Name was one of my favorites. I remember smoking that a lot, but I kind of forgot about it because I finished the bag or the 2-3 ounces that I ordered, and I just didn't get back to, you know, ordering more until this weekend, rather this particular weekend being Easter, when I got this blend again. It's called No Name. It does have a name. No Name. And I remember, I think a few weeks ago I talked about, you know, I got it and I smelt it and it was kind of very Lakelandy, and I kind of got scared of it. So I just want to confirm. So here's the correction. I did smoke a lot of that since that airing of that episode, and it is quite fantastic. So it's definitely a good tobacco. It's right there on par with what I was talking about. No Name is one of those ones that's like very old timey. There's blends out there, some of these old tobacconists that will have blends that taste like, you know, the gentleman at LJ Peretti, who I forget his name, a wonderful guy, he put it perfectly, and I can't the words he used are escaping me, but basically it's like an old, it just tastes like an old shop. And that's true. Like an antique store. Like it has like this weird old wooden vibe to it, to the flavor, to the scents. And it's spot on, man. It's like you're smoking an old pipe store. It's really, really weird. It's not an appealing smell, but for some reason it becomes this appealing aroma, flavor, taste when you're smoking it. But that's no name. And he did say that's what other folks would call a Lakeland, which typically we think of Lakeland as a soapy blend. I could see the comparison between the two, but this one's not an overly soapy tobacco blend. But anyway, so wanted to get that kind of out of the way. But it's been cool, man. There's been some cool stuff popping up. We had the new Sutliff drop, actually, I think coming up by the time this episode goes live, just a couple days ago. Old Boss.
Yeah. The Old Boss.
Old Boss coming out with what I think to be some really awesome tin art. We really got to get back to our tin art a la carte series in the segments at the end. But yeah, we're probably going to skip this particular tin, but it's good. I really like it. It's got this very old timey, and it's paying homage to the Old Boss, right? This blend is a real recipe that they took the recipe and they just kind of reformulated it to, you know, modern components or whatever, but it's pretty much the exact same recipe and brought it back to the market. And this is a blend that I believe the Old Boss loved. It was one of his favorite things. Smoked it all the time, and now we can get our hands on it now in a limited batch, I believe, with Sutliff. That's their celebrating their 175th. Again, that's Old Boss.
Yeah, this tin. We were talking last week. My initial reaction was like, I'm not a fan of it, of the tin. Art. Yeah, of the art, not the tobacco. I haven't even opened the tin yet. I'm probably gonna save this. But then the more I looked at it, like the cool, the shiny gold. What do you even call that?
Yeah, I mean,
metallic looking as you turn the tin. Love that. I think the picture was throwing me off a little bit because it's like it's just not what I was used to, what I'm used to on a tin.
Yeah,
but then
it's cool. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, the more I'm looking at it, the more I like it. I love gold. I love gold on tins, if that makes sense. Even though the tin itself is kind of the classic Sutliff-y, not Sutliff, but like it's gold. And I think we talked about it would be better on one of the, what is it? Biscuity tins.
One of the, I would have liked it to see it on one of the Seattle Pipe Clubby tins. I think the wraparound canvas would have been really good for this one. But yeah, I mean, I've actually had a couple bowls. It's good stuff if you can pick it up. Very strong, but good tasting English mixture. And of course, when we talk about the Old Boss, we're talking about Mr. Sutliff, Henry Sutliff, you know, the founder of the company. You know, this was his blend from centuries ago, and they found in their vault this recipe, and they kind of brought it back. They've been sitting on this for a while, right? That's not like they found it 2 days ago and they're like, oh, we could do this. Like they're like, oh, let's keep this back pocketed for the celebration of the 175th. So this is before mixture 79, right? That's kind of the most iconic Sutliff mixture. But before many others, this was the one. So it's got some very fine red Virginias in there. There's some Turkish in there, a heavy amount of Latakia. There is a little bit of Perique in there. If you're averse to Perique like I am, not too much on that plate for me. I appreciate the amount, or rather the lack thereof. And then of course it's got some good Burley, which is something that I'm always gonna, you know, find a
you?
Good taste in.
Burley? Yeah. Really? Wow. Never would have guessed.
So yeah, so cool stuff have been coming up, man. We got that. They also had the speaking of Burley, the London Burley came out. That's a pretty much a yearly release, and that's actually a Mac Baron tobacco. London Burley was like, I don't know. See, this tobacco is weird, man, because, you know, and it's all the market, dude. The market talks, right? The market provides. And sometimes, like, this blend was pulled not because it was bad. It was because it wasn't selling. That doesn't mean bad. It just wasn't selling, right? Like, tobaccos go away when they don't sell. Right. And then when they release it in a small batch or a limited release, like we've seen this, the London Burley, over for many years now coming out. But this re-release, this yearly re-release is very hyped up and it sells out almost immediately. But it came out again this year and I thought it was for an absolute freaking steal. I'm pretty sure there's still some tins left actually at the time of recording there is, but this 2024 release, absolutely delicious. I've had the 2022 release, the 2021 release. I missed the 23 release. Maybe I've had a couple before that. Maybe the 2019 sounds familiar. I don't quite remember. But I've always liked it. I think it's different, a little bit different every time, just by the nature of, you know, crops changing over time. But basically this was a hit back in the day. So now exclusive to Smoking Pipes, they'll do this limited run of this Mac Baron London Burley Flake. And it came out for a steal this year, right? It was like $13.95 for that big 3.5 or it's 100 gram tin, whatever that is, 2 ounces. 3.5 ounce, right? Now 100 gram tin. And it's that beautiful freaking circular tin with the old classic Burley, Mac Baron Burley art. I just think this is actually an absolute steal. If you're into the Burley market like I am, this is the good stuff, man. For $13.95 for 3.5 ounces, that's cheaper than most tins of 2 ounce, you know, right? That's an absolute steal. And it's limited, so I'd go pick some up if you can. I was able to get a couple tins. And I'm not really in the market right now for tobacco by any means, but I was like, for $13, you know, I'm one of those guys who sees $13.95 and I round down like, first two numbers are 13. That's $13.
is this blend from Paris?
Is that a joke?
Yeah, it was a joke.
Cause I didn't like the joke.
Cause it's called London Burley.
Bad joke.
No, come on. It was a good joke.
No, wasn't a good joke. I didn't even get it. That's how bad it was. Like, I was like, there's no way he's saying. There's no way he's going from London.
Keep it coming. Keep it coming.
Oh, my gosh.
The thought of buying tobacco right now is so far from me. Still, like, I was about to say I'll get there one day. I don't think I will. I want more cigars, though. That is one tobacco that I do want more of. I do want more cigars. I still love pipes, man. I've been itching to buy a pipe.
Yeah, that's fine. Dude, you're owning your pipe era, and I kind of am too, right? Like I've been letting go, like selling a lot of tobacco to pay for my pipes, my pipe acquisitions. I'm kind of in my collector's mode, which is not, I always say that there's two hobbies, right? With pipe smoking, there's like the pipe smoking and then there's like the pipe collecting. I'm kind of in my pipe collecty mode right now, a little bit more so, maybe not more so than the smoking, but okay. Yeah, I've acquired a decent amount of pipes this year, that's the thing, dude. Some come in, a lot go out, or rather the ones that go out have been pretty high dollar, which has allowed me to get some, you know, several cheaper. I'm a Peterson guy. So a few Petersons will account for one, you know, artisan pipe that I might have moved on or whatever. But I also had a ton of tobacco from when I'm glad you didn't get this point in your early rookie season of being a pipe smoker. It affects many people. And that's the TAD, tobacco acquisition disorder. And I was in a pretty unique situation where it was COVID. So people were, you know, trying to sell all of their tobacco to pay for their freaking lives because they weren't working. I was getting paid by the government because I'm in the government. So I didn't have to worry about a paycheck per se. So I was able to acquire a bunch of tobacco from people selling it on Facebook at a time when you were able to. So I had just accumulated a ton, was really concerned about cellaring and, I need to get all these tins, all these rare tins. But long story short, I started to outgrow that. And then I was able to let go of a lot of those tins. And I pretty much am left with only the stuff I smoke, which is pretty, pretty fascinating to me. I'm pretty wowed by that because I did have quite a number of tins. Nothing crazy like some of the folks like the Jay Furmans out there even the Pipes, Fours and Pals folks, other podcasts. Literally, I probably have the lowest amount of tobacco compared to every other pipe podcaster out there. I think I can significantly, put my mark on that.
Say
one.
That.
Yeah. That's a statement I feel comfortable backing. So even at the height of my stuff, really. But we've just been at it a little bit lesser of time. You know, we've been in the game a little bit shorter.
True.
But, and even then, our time in that game has been more dedicated towards, you know, the pipe stuff. But I'm glad that bug didn't get you where you were just acquiring a bunch of, you know, pipe tobacco. But yeah, anyway, let's talk about some pipes since we're big pipe guys now. I got a kind of a big confession here. Okay. I might be, wait for it, a Dr. Graybo guy. I'm dead serious.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm How so? Serious. Okay, explain.
So there is a, kind of going back to the collector conversation, there is a pipe out there that I do collect that I don't really talk too much about because they're so freaking cheap and they're, you know, they show up very sparingly when they show up on eBay or something or on Facebook, I'll just buy them for really cheap. And they're L.L. Bean pipes. So L.L. Bean is, you know, a big outfitter up in Maine, New England. It's kind of like a staple of the homeland. And L.L. Bean, I think we might have even talked about this loosely, but L.L. Bean used to have some tobacco pipes. Again, being an outdoor store, you know, you go get your flannel, you can find some, you know, pipes on the side by the checkout with some L.L. Bean stamps into the briar, into that shank. And so I found these pipes and I was like, wow, that's crazy. You can't do this anymore, right? This is probably from the 70s, 80s. And so
right.
I just started acquiring them as they came up on the net or whatever. And they had this interesting mark on them, on like the stem, one that I wasn't familiar with. And it wasn't until recently where I was like, oh my gosh, this is a Graybo, right? So these are Dr. Graybo pipes. And then they, you know, were sent to L.L. Bean they probably were stamped by Graybo with the L.L. Bean, you know, Freeport, Maine, stem or on the shank. And then this, they would send to the distributors or whatever, the L.L. Bean to distribute rather. And so I guess I've always been kind of a Graybo guy, despite all of the flack I've kind of given. I've never criticized Dr. Graybo, but I've accepted the fact that they were the cheap alternative to, you know, factory pipes even, right? You can get them at gas stations. You can still get them at the PX. You know, it's going to have a heavy lacquer on the bowl to cover up any kind of flaws or whatever. But they also have their higher grade pipes, but I just never really got into them. But that's actually not what got me to be a Graybo guy. It was actually our good friend, Fred, Big Fred came in and we met him at in Muletown. I'd met him before at the Sutliff meetup, which was awesome. But he had come to Muletown, and at Muletown, I didn't talk about this. He handed me two Graybos, both needed to be restored. But he was like, yeah, I know you're not a Graybo guy. Let's try to change that here. These two, you know, beat up pipes that I used to smoke. I loved them, but you know, maybe you'll find some enjoyment out of them. Free of charge, just kind of gave them to me. So I'm very blessed in that regard that someone would just hand me pipes, man. Thanks so much to Fred there. But I actually got them shipped off to, you know, our good friend, Jim Anderson, Lazarus Pipes. We talked about him last week and he had restored, these Graybos, and one of them it's called the Regal, and man, this freaking pipe is pretty sweet. It's a pretty sweet pipe. It's, the stem is so freaking thin. It's like, I it's unbelievable. I love when a pipe stem, when the bit is very, very thin, it's very akin to an artisan made pipe. You know, you just typically see with these factory pipes that the stem, the bit is very thick.
Yeah.
It's chunky. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Hold on to.
Yeah. And when it comes to like saliva production, if you're a clencher, the bigger the bit, right, the more, you know, there's just more in your mouth and you're just, mouth's just going to produce, it's just kind of gross. But this one, man, ooh, gosh, it is just, it's one of the best bits that I have on any of my pipes, including some of my artisans. Actually, including all my artisans. I would put this in like the top, like,
whoa,
you know, 10 bits. It's just, it's perfect. So crazy. So I've been smoking that all week and I posted it in the Galactic Hip Pipe Pipe Club. And I was like, smoking a, you know, Peretti blend or whatever in a pipe that I guarantee no one will guess. And I made it clear. I was like, you can still get this pipe. This is not a unique pipe, but you're not going to guess that I'm smoking it. And Fred did pick up on it, even though I'm surprised because it was definitely cleaned up and polished and looking pretty. He's like, was that one of the ones I gave you? And I was like, it is. So there's the secret. It was a Dr. Graybo, to the folks, who were, who were considering what potential options there were out there. That was the most unique. That was the most unique one to get piped, because I've always kind of, you know, kind of put the gray bows behind. And yeah, so I do apologize for that. I always have, even since I've been apologizing for it, but I finally gave them their fighting chance. And good pipe, man. Don't sleep on the gray bows. Don't be get piped. Don't sleep on the gray bows, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, that's one thing I don't have. I mean, not that I've many, many pipes.
Oh, because you have every other pipe.
I have so many other factory pipes, just other pipes in general. No. Yeah, definitely not on the top of my list. I did.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's not on the top of my list. There's definitely artisan ones. I've been just thinking about kind of like our friends, you know, our good friends that are makers, and just like, I want to acquire their pipes because they're buddies. But then there's other ones where I'm just like, I don't know. There is sometimes the ego creeps in and be like, I want an X pipe because it's made by X maker or whatever.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad thing though, but yeah, it's hard but to like, really justify like the emotional backing sometimes.
Yeah. And I think that's what I've been missing, is like why I haven't bought pipes is because I like to shake the hands of the folks who make them. You know what I mean? Like, that means so much to me. I love that my first artisan pipe ever was not necessarily acquired in that manner. I guess that was a commission. So it was both. You know what I mean?
That makes up for it.
But yeah. Yeah, man. Well, what do you think? You want to get into this? Let's do it.
I'm excited,
man. This is going to be a great one. But I just want to say thank you all for smoking and junking with us, and of course for your support of the Get Piped podcast. Means a lot. Every single donation counts to help us continue this show to get to episode 999. There's other ways we want to thank you. Thank you, everyone who was able to get flannel coffee. We are in the midst of trying to figure out, you know, maybe some other ways to get it for folks who aren't able to go to shows. That is not a promise to anyone. I don't even know the possibility, but we're hoping to have updates, you know, in the future. I think the what's it called? The survey was very good. And I think we had a lot of
160 responses. Wow. Yeah. And that's, you could only say yes. There was no, but there was no, hey, I'll take two. Yeah. And dude, I'm telling you, people, I'm listening. I hear you. I get a message on Instagram. And I would imagine the folks who are messaging me on Instagram are actually not subscribers of the YouTube channel or the podcast. Cause they're like, oh, what is this? How do I get it? Like, and I'm like, yeah, okay. I break it down. Like, oh, it's, you know, kind of exclusive to shows right now. But we're seeing what we can do. But it's at least two a day, which is cool. I mean, that's not a ton, but if you think about it over the past 2 weeks, that's, you know, that's 15 that's to 30. No.
Yeah. There's obviously just huge, like, we can't sell it. We don't have the ability to do it. And, so there's a lot of stuff out there, but with that being said, one thing you can do is our buy around club. That's on not our email. That's at getpiped.co. That's getpiped.co, our buy around club. We just want to shout out Donovan Piazza. Thank you so much. He has been a supporter for a while. Legend at the Wee Dram level at the 10. So thank you, Donovan. If you want to join our buy around club, again, it's a donation. Every donation counts. So thank you all so much that have, and shout out to all of our buy around club members. But we have got a great show planned this week with another edition of the Draft Hole. It's going to be a good one. Following our primary topic, we'll get into some blind tier list and then move into over under.
Hell yes. Big thanks to the Producer Guy for the Producer Guy things. Now, before we move into our primary topic, I want to remind you to take a deep breath, savor this moment, kindle your flame, and pipe as you please.
Well, friends, we have another draft hole. This is a good one. This is a newer series. We've only done it one other time, and this is our series where Adam and I, we have a little draft. It's anything pipe smoking related. The last one we had was episode 108. That was our legendary pipe smokers, both real and fantasy. So, yeah, we go back and forth. We each choose, there are seven total rounds. We each choose a round one thing within the specific topic per round. And we just kind of discuss why we think we won each one. And then actually what we're going to do for all of our Spotify listeners, the Q&A question on the episode, you're going to be able to answer who won.
Really? You can post it.
Yep. I'm going to change the question so that it's who won, and you'll be able to say, you might even be able to choose Nick or Adam, and I'll be able to see that.
Only through Spotify though.
Only through Spotify. Which, you know, if Apple did something like that, that'd be cool. You know, each episode rather than a whole
overarching review,
which is good. You should do both of those. But yeah, so the topic today is pipe pairings, and very, very excited about that one. And Adam and I were kind of talking beforehand. Obviously, we don't know each other's picks, but we agreed upon that pipe pairings can be kind of anything. It can be food, it can be drinks, it can be situations or scenarios. And I think we even said real or fantasy, maybe more real on this one, but it's just kind of overarching. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a drink. You know, what's your favorite pipe pairing drink? It's kind of overarching, but you got anything else you want to say on that?
Yeah. So we're doing this for a pretty good reason. We got the NFL draft coming up this week. I think it starts on Friday. I don't know. We don't really
watch.
I
knew that.
You did?
Yeah. No.
You didn't. Okay.
No, I didn't.
I'm much more of a sports person than producer guy is. I know many of you guys are sports guys. I know many of you aren't, but that doesn't matter because we're going to just nest it with the fact that this pretty big national sports event is going on in the U.S. here over in the U.S. But that's kind of why we're doing this one. I don't know when this will pop up again, but it is fun. It doesn't have to necessarily be nested with a world event. But we thought, hey, what better week to do the draft hole than during the NFL draft? So yeah, check out this episode and then hope your favorite team picks a good player. I don't know, man. But we're gonna have some fun with this one, right? Like, and the best part about it is producer guy and I, obviously we have no idea what we're gonna pick, but we have our own draft board that we've kind of prepped given the topic, and we can have a little bit of fun with it. We might have to call each other out for maybe overstepping the boundary, maybe.
Yeah,
but we'll see. But that's kind of fun of it. And then we're gonna try to talk each other through it, see who won, and we'll give the overarching victory what we think, and then we'd love to hear your thoughts given the feedback from the Spotify, the Q&A, or if you just want to shoot us an email, put it in the content section on the Galactic Get Pipe Club, or maybe shoot us maybe an email or something on Instagram. But the point is, right now I'm 1-0. I'm going for the 2-0. I want to win two victories here. But because I won the last one, producer guy is going to get the very first pick of the draft hole today. So I'm never going to say the words without further ado, like in a serious manner. That's like a huge pet peeve of mine. Not saying if any of you guys say it, you shouldn't, but I have this war against cliches. So without delaying any further, let's get into the draft hole. I feel like we need a little bit better of a...
I'll put it in there.
Hole. I guess I have a button there. Hole. Why did I do that? Why did I echo hole? The draft hole. Run it.
Introducing the greatest series in pipe podcast history. maybe ever. This is The Draft Hole.
All right. Okay. Here we go. I'm a little nervous. I don't know if I'm going to pick the right one, but okay. First round draft pick. All right. With the number one pick in the draft for perfect tobacco pipe pairings, I am choosing coffee. I'm going with coffee here.
Oof.
A strong, strong first
that
pick.
That was going to be my first pick.
I got some other good ones. Yeah, I'm going with coffee. I mean, you can't beat a pipe and coffee, man. I go back to a sort of, I would call it a Nirvana smoke. Last year while camping, man, we had instant coffee. And I had some Saint Espresso in my pipe, and it was just such a magical pairing. Like, we had bacon in the cast iron, we had eggs going. Like, I know that's a farther reaching scenario or like pick, but it was made perfect because of coffee.
That's true.
I think that's just. I had some other ones that I think would have been good, but that was probably coffee is the most fitting number one overall pick for pipe pairing.
I like this pick. I mean, I can't lie. I was going to go with the exact same thing for my first pick. I knew it was going to, actually, I didn't know. I wasn't sure what you were going to do with your first pick, but I was like, man, is he going to, because we're going to be probably grasping. I have 10 prepped and there's 7 rounds in this draft. So that's one. Now, like, if you pick another two, now I got to start doing some dancing here. But for the most part, man, I think this is a great pick. I always thought, like, the tranquility of, like, that early morning, you know, the aroma of freshly brewed coffee just kind of mingles, you know, preps your nose and your palate before you start that actual smoke. And then the tobacco just seems so much richer. Man, there's like a period of, like, that quiet contemplation that kind of begins your day. Yeah, this is and probably one of the
best there's something about
get.
About a warm drink in a pipe for some reason for me. I really like that combination. Don't get me wrong, like, a nice cold drink is good, but I feel like something about maybe it's my tongue getting, not necessarily tongue bite, but I mean, you're bringing hot smoke into your mouth, and the warmth of a coffee, and it's not just tea, it's not just water and leaves. This is like an actual greater substance that kind of soothes everything. So, yeah.
I agree. I'm right on there with you. There's, you know, it's just the perfect drink. It is literally the perfect drink to pair with tobacco, you know, because you're right. You could argue tea. You could argue like hot chocolate. You could argue, like these things, like even like a soup, if you wanted to have like a mild soup, I guess.
Yeah.
But those are very, I mean, other than tea, tend to have some very heavy flavor profiles that might take away from, you know, those flavors. I think the coffee's just perfect. It's a perfect pick. And I know I'm gassing up your pick. I can't wait to get to mine. but it needs to be said, man. It's just like the perfect drink. And you might not be a coffee person. So if you're not a coffee person, I guess that's a win for me. Cause I'm gonna need an edge here as I take my first pick. But you know, with this first pick, you know, I had to do a little tap dancing here to figure out what I wanted to do. I think I have some really good ones that are going to be a surprise in the later rounds.
Okay.
Because they could easily be first round picks, but I'm like almost confident that, you know, the mind to get pipe came up with them. And I don't know if the mind to producer guy, I don't know. Maybe they come up. Maybe you pick all of the ones I have.
You're like, dang it.
That would be horrible. I would, I don't know. Sure. But let's get into it. I think the first one I'm going to go with, my very first pick, this is a hard one, but I think I'm going to go with pipe smoking by the hearth. And you can kind of extrapolate that to slash like an outdoor fire. Like, just pipe by the fire is a good freaking, like, what more could you want, man? I think what more you want, maybe a cup of coffee in the morning. But for a good, you know, 1B pick, first round B, if I'm going to go second in this round, yeah, I think a pipe by the fire is just, if there's something like, there's like a primal comfort of like firelight, the warmth of it. There's like that soothing crackle of, you know, these flames. There's an opportunity there for like some storytelling. There's an opportunity just for the quiet reflection. And then you're just kind of enveloped by this cozy ambiance. And it's like every time I'm by a fire, it's so much better when I have a pipe in my hand, particularly on a cold day, but we won't, you know, open the stems of the, branch.
Of course.
But yeah, man, I think that's a great first rounder. Do you have any thoughts on the pipe by the fire? I know you're a big fan 100%. Of pipe by the fire.
100%. Dude, unfortunately, that was going to be my second round pick.
Was it? No way.
I just had to cross it off. I had evening campfire with the boys.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's the same. I'm counting that as a same by the fire.
Yeah.
So that was going to be my number two, which is a real bummer. I'm a huge by the fire guy. Something about a campfire with family, with friends, in solitude is so soothing. And that was a great thing about this weekend, is both nights that we were there, there's a fire going on. And both nights, I had a cigar. And like, it just felt right. I know we're talking pipes here, I get it, but I'll extrapolate to even just any form of tobacco in this case. It just felt right. Like, we had s'mores the second night. Like, there was a bunch of guys just hanging around talking, you know, and like, yeah, I have a lot to say. I have like so much to say. I don't know what to say about the fire, if that makes sense. Cause it's like what our ancestors used to do. You know, like they would come around, the warriors would come around the fire at night and rest, and, you know, they could see the far off camps fires too, but it's dark, you know, no one had night vision at that time. They were all relaxing, and they would come back and tell the stories of the day. And I think that's what kind of bonds us man, not just men, but man around a fire. We're able to humanity around it's like, it's fire is both destructive but also giving of life and warmth. And I think that's such a, you know, such an integral part of humanity, humans, and all that stuff. So yeah, great. Dude, first round.
What I like about this first round is I actually don't think there's a clear winner between the two of those. Right. I think we both would have gone, obviously you would have, I would have as well, gone with the coffee in the first round. But there's like a, you know, we won't go too much into this one, but like, I like the idea of the fact that the coffee is a constant, right? You can have a pipe and coffee every single day, and that gives it its own value to a first round pick. But with my pick, which I'm almost kind of, I don't know, I'm a little bit torn on, so I'm excited to hear what the folks have to say. But it's like a rarity, right? You're not having a fire every night. You're not having it every single morning without fail. But that makes it very special. But is that specialness enough to, you know, outweigh the fact of an everyday? Maybe, maybe not though. So I'm curious what the folks say. But let's get into round two, man. What do you got for your second round? And now I'm realizing if we continue to take each other's picks by, you know, we're going to be really struggling round 4, 5, 6, 7. But let's see what we got.
All right. Here we go. Round two. Actually, similar to kind of the style that you had, I'm going to go back porch smokes here. I'm going to go back porch smokes. Specifically with mine, back porch on a cool summer night. So not with a fire. Maybe we just did some grilling or something. But the back porch smoke is something that is that's really all the only place I smoke at home. Is kind of our deck or our patio area, whatever you want to call it. But it just, we come together, you know, producer wife and I, there's no fire pit or anything, but we're just sitting there in quiet solitude together, talking, puffing on pipes. And it just feels like kind of a, you know, secluded, safe area outside of the house. Like the front yard is, you know, there's potentially cars driving by and people walking by, but you know, for us in the backyard on the back patio, yeah, man, it's just, it feels like home. So to me, I know a lot of people have that same sort of feeling, as like they love their backyards, they love going back there, sitting on the deck, the porch, whatever it may be. So I think that this is, this to me is both a personal pick but also a people's pick, if that makes sense. It's for the people. So
okay, I like this pick, which is good because my pick's actually the front porch. No, I'm just kidding. I think you can kind of claim the front and back areas.
Okay.
All right. Immediate outdoor areas for your pick. But as we kind of zero in on that back porch, I think you nailed it, man. I think there's actually something a little bit, I don't want to say more special than smoking inside your house, but there's something different because when you're smoking inside, man, yeah, you have full claim of your domain. But by going to the back porch, you're also, not only are you still claiming your domain as this is your house, this is your property, and whether you own it or not, rather, you could be renting. I remember the many smokes I had on my Tacoma back porch, at least towards the end of it, because at first I didn't love it, and then before we were leaving, I was like, you know, I'm not using this to the best of my, not ability. But appreciation. but yeah, like you're still like, okay, this is my land. It might be really small. It could be really big, but either way, you're kind of claiming that house. And then you're also able to have that protected back area. And I've seen your porch, I've smoked a pipe on your porch. So I guess that's an extra point for you. Maybe not in the actual draft, but at least in, you know, all of our hearts, you're right, man, just to kind of have that quiet area and kind of own it. And yeah, I think that's very special. I think that's very, very special. But this could be the exact same for a lot of listeners, and it happens to be their front porch. Maybe that's where their, you know, their favorite spot is. And I think we did a really awesome freehand fable for Easter, and that's where you know, granddad, great granddad, whoever was smoking, you know, it was right on the front porch. So I like the porch pick, man. That's a very, very claimable spot for a lot of pipe smokers. Is, hey, this is my place. So my second round pick is going to be similar, and actually, I'm pivoting based off of your pick because I want to be competitive in this this draft. I want to come out on top, and I think I do have the better pick. But we're going to put him in the second round here. I'm going to pick the leather chair. We're going to pick pipe smoking with the leather smoking chair, and that is typically inside the house, but you could say it's at a lounge. That's the spot, right? I don't even have one, but if I had one, I'd want to sit in it all the time. And there's nothing like pulling out a pipe on like a very comfortable chair. And the coolest part about leather, right? I actually learned this the hard way. You'd think, you know, maybe I need to stop going against the grain, going with the grain. Learn to listen to the wise. Follow the wisdom, man. I was, when Get Wifed and I got in that accident on our way to Muletown, the Kia was out of commission for a little bit, right? And that's, I smoke in my car all the time. And those seats are leather. And my car smells great most of the time, right? If I smoke a very heavy Virginia or very heavy Burley, maybe like a Five Brothers, it's going to have a little bit of a cigarette smell, but it really does dissipate over time. Very, like I could literally just keep the windows open on, go 65 down the highway, and in 15 minutes, next day, you're not going to smell anything. You know, that's, a smoker's not going to smell anything. A pipe smoker's not going to smell anything, but my wife can get in the car and be like, oh, you know, he definitely smokes in here, but smells fine. Well, when we switched cars, and I was using Get Wife's car because I wanted to be a good husband, a good get pipe to my get wifed. I let her take the sweet little rental to work because she has a lot harder of a job than I. And I was able to smoke in her car, the little Subaru we got, but they got them cloth chairs, man. And she was like, oh, no, it sticks to, and they always say this, you know, leather, you know, there's a reason. My point is there's a reason why every smoke lounge has a bunch of leather chairs and not cloth chairs. After like a week of smoking in that car, it kind of, it smelled like smoke, not good smoke. And it definitely stuck to the cloth. And then I got back in my car and I was like, man, it smells great in here. Like, what the hell? So, yeah, you know, I did. That was a lesson I didn't need to learn, but I did anyway. But as we relate it back to the leather chair, man, it's the perfect spot because one, it's a it's like it is a domain, and this is like kind of the domain piece of the home, which I did kind of knock a little bit because I did appreciate the outdoor aspect as well. But if you're going to claim some spot in your house, it's got to be a leather chair, man. It's that like the king's chair, the queen's chair. They kind of own it. And yeah, you know, what better than not having your, you know, seats, your favorite seats smell, reek of old, crappy, you know, cigarette smoke. You don't have that problem. And then again, you go to a pipe lounge and that's where you're going. You're going to the sweet leather chairs, man. So I think this is a great pick. I actually think it might edge yours out, but I'm curious what you think about this particular one.
Yeah. I got to ask. Well, I got two things I got to ask. Does this cover all chairs? Are we knocking out all chairs with the leather chair?
If you wanted to bring up like fold out chair, I mean, like, no, I mean, it's not like a chair. Like this, like it's specifically like the leather, like the, I mean, I guess the leather, like don't come out next round with the leather couch.
not what I was thinking. Okay. All right. an ottoman. Anyways, so that was the first thing. The second thing is I did ask producer wife before this. I was like, all right, give me some like thoughts about, you know, smoking, like good pairings. And she said a couple that were good. And then I think a couple that I already had down. And then she just like out of nowhere just goes chair. She just says chair. I was like, what? Oh, it was so funny. We had a good laugh. Great pick, man. That's a great pick. I didn't even think of that. I think the leather smoking chair is almost as synonymous with pipe smoking as like a what's it called? Smoking jacket. Like those two.
Oh, yeah.
Those go hand in hand. Yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's a great pick. I wish I picked it. Not necessarily for round two. I don't think fair. That's the best round two pick, but that's a solid, in my mind, that would have been a solid three or four in this case, but still a very good pick overall.
Okay.
But all right, let's move into round three. All right. This is a good one. I'm actually maybe going to take this pick from you. I don't know, but I'm going to pick it before you can. I'm going to say the pup walk. I'm going to pick the pup walk.
Okay.
In round number three here. I think that the idea of the pup walk and the smoke is very good. And the reason why is for what you've talked about. I don't do long pup walks, but I think I like it because it does incorporate an active lifestyle with pipe smoking that I think is very, very good. The idea of lunting, or in this case, walking with your dog, it promotes healthy habits. It promotes a healthy lifestyle. Even when you're doing something that, you know, the people around you, when they look at you, they're like, he's smoking. But it's like, yeah, but I also just walked 5 miles.
Exactly.
What did you do, you know, freaking guy, as he's eating whatever. So it's, I think it's a solid round three pick for that reason, because it encourages healthiness and staying fit, getting piped. And, who doesn't love walking their pup? It's a great thing to do in general. Gets them exercise and gets them moving.
Okay. I like this pick. I don't love it, because it actually was not on my list.
So
I'm glad you pulled this. I don't know if you were trying to, you know, war game this in a sense where let me take maybe a pick from him. Sounded like maybe, which is good for me, because this was then actually on my list. So because I don't love this pick, I'm gonna try to bring it down a peg. At least in the context of my pup walks. Dude, that dog is crazy. Crazy, but gosh, those things have so much freaking energy. I still can't grasp how much energy puppies have. And it's like, dude, can you chill? chill. Let's just walk. And so, like, you know, the pulling here, the pulling that way, you know, oh, squirrel, drinking squirrel pond water or rain water in the gutter. You know, it's just like, gosh, what are we doing? So I'm actually too preoccupied with trying to get this dog to, you know, learn how to actually walk, you know, stay with me. So we do like a, we do what's called a slip leash. And basically it's like a, hey, if you try to pull, you're going to kind of choke yourself. It's not like a prong collar or anything. But you basically, the, when we bring this, when we bring Ingrid for a walk, we're like constantly like checking her. And it's like a little bit of like a, it's almost like a mini throat punch. That's essentially what it is. And yeah, it's like as she starts to pull, you give it just like a little flick of your wrist and, you know, she's like, okay, that sucked. I don't want to do that again. And then she learns to stay with you. And unfortunately, with that, I'm just too preoccupied to smoke a pipe. And I think I talked about this a few weeks ago, probably a couple months ago. There's one Dunhill pipe that I have from the 80s. Very, very beautiful blast. It never, ever, ever, ever freaking gurgles. Never, ever gurgles. And the one time I brought it on a pup walk, it was gurgling like a unfinished, quality control Peterson. Sorry, Pete. Dude, it was crazy. It was crazy. And I was like, oh, this is this is not good. And it's gotta be because I was a little bit too preoccupied, puffing way too fast, the outside air being too cold for the bowl with the extreme heat inside, not having a wind cap. So there's a lot of things that come into going on a pup walk with a pipe. But what I will say is there was one time in Ireland, man, where we were at the Giant's Causeway. If you don't know what the Giant's Causeway is, look it up. If you've seen pictures of it, it's like this crazy, dude, it's like the most, it's like, man, either they think giants were there. I think like someone was here, the spirits, the aliens, the gods, someone was there because it's crazy. But apparently there's some scientific explanation, which BS, man, it's crazy looking.
And what's called the Giant's Causeway?
Giant's Causeway. It's like a bunch of like hexagon, like rocks. It's crazy. Like, and like when you see them, you're like, this is too perfect. This is like AI created. You know what I mean? Or just I created. It could just be regular intelligence, you know?
regular intelligence.
But it's crazy, man. And I bring that up because the path to get to it is quite long. It's probably like a 0.7 mile walk. And on our way back, we saw this very old gent with a very, very old Irish wolfhound. Now, Irish wolfhounds, that was like the primary dog we wanted before we stumbled upon Ingrid. And they're these huge, huge dogs, man. They're massive, but they're very, very, very tame, very, very tempered and calm and just sweet. And I was like, man, this guy, all he needs, and like very slow walking, you know, like they're just going on this very, very slow, you know, trot. Not trot's a bad word because that means not slow walk, but they're on this very, very slow pace. And I was like, man, this is what the life I want. Just add a pipe to that where you don't have to worry about, you know, all the pace of the dog. The dog was very chill. So I am kind of bumping you up a little bit right there with the pup walk, given the right dog, right conditions, you're going the right pace. It could be very, very, very enjoyable. But normally on a pup walk, which I did last night, I went with a cigar. It's a little bit easier. So is pipe the best pairing? I don't know. But let me get into my pick here. I'm going to go with one that is kind of a stretch here. No. I'm going to stack. I'm going to rack and stack. I want to kick your ass in this one. So the profanity. Watch your profanity on this one. But... I'm gonna go with
watch your profanity.
What is that from?
I gotta find it. Watch
your profanity. You gotta inject a clip for everyone right now.
There I do.
What the f- is this?
Watch your profanity.
Right, I'm sorry.
It's just like it's like the it's like store. I think it's Storage Wars. I think it's from like Storage Wars.
That's even funnier. What?
they're in a storage room.
I can't.
Like, it's like the and he says, he's like, what the f*** is this? And the guy goes, watch your profanity. And then the other guy goes, oh yeah, that's right, I'm sorry.
That's great.
That
was
right.
That was a huge meme for a while, and I never knew what that was from. That makes it so much funnier.
Okay. All right, what's your round three pick?
A round three pick is going to be pipe smoking and fishing, man. The serenity of being surrounded by nature, man. We're talking about the anticipation of that catch, the moments of relaxation, you know, the contemplation in between casts. Dude, and it gets enhanced just by that rhythmic puffing of that pipe. And then when you get that little tug, you know, you clench a little bit harder and you really reel that fish in and bring her home, man. I think it's the perfect combo. You know, when we think about hunting, not something you can smoke your pipe with, just because obviously you're trying to hunt an animal that will smell that smoke. The fish, they don't care. They don't give a rip, mainly because they can't smell through the water to maybe they can. I don't know how fish are designed, artificially or officially. But
fish aren't real.
Birds are. The birds thing is, so maybe you can smoke.
I mean,
maybe you can
real.
Smoke your pipe
that's
when
legit.
You're bird hunting.
That's
since the birds aren't real.
The birds definitely aren't real. And it was funny because I was reading a book. It's that super, the guy who's always writes books. And it, anyways.
Stephen King.
James Patterson. I think that's who it is.
That's a good, he's wrote a lot of books.
Yeah. And it's about like the president going crazy and then CIA and all this stuff. Anyways, the CIA had this drone. They were like, it looks like a sparrow and it didn't make any noise and it's all this stuff. And I'm like, well, there you go. Birds aren't real. So they confirmed.
Do you remember that? Then the CIA did try to do something in Vietnam, and they spent like $1 trillion on like a, what was it? It was some kind of animal. I think it was like a turtle or something, or maybe it was a cat. I don't know. Either way, it got ran over within, you know, it was like 6 minutes of deployment. Oh gosh. Anyway,
the greatest like government project was NASA spending millions of dollars in the 60s to, or wherever it was, to create a pen that would write in space. And then the Soviets are just like, we will bring pencil. And it's just like, come on, just bring a pencil, bro. You'll be fine. Anyways.
Oh,
all right.
Gosh. Okay, let's talk about pipe smoking and fishing.
Yeah,
I think this is a great pick. I think this will really hit home for a lot of folks who really look forward to those, you know, those trips. Like pretty much what you had this weekend.
Yeah,
a lot of folks get that. Even in solace, right? Even alone, that might be their thing. They get exactly what you got out of your weekend getaway just by being alone, and you know, maybe not alone, being with a couple fish, you know, and hopefully getting some luck out there. You know, props to all the folks who return them. You eat them or you return them. Right. But I would imagine most folks are, you know, sending them back. But yeah, you know, get your lawn chair out. It ain't no leather chair, but definitely a chair that producer wife would have thought of, you know, get out there, get your feet in the sand maybe. And, you know, or maybe you're on a little mini boat, a little canoe or something. I think this is a great option for, a pipe pairing. And I think it's one that could actually have maybe even gone higher up maybe in the second round. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people would have said it should have gone higher up. Probably number two. I know one person who would agree. That's our good friend Jay Furman. He loves the fly fishing.
Oh yeah,
and pipe smoking. I think this is a really good pick. I admit things when I think they're true, and I think round three kind of you took the win here. That was a great pick because it just. Great relaxing, because like honestly, I don't like smoking a pipe on a pup walk. I was trying to game the system a little bit.
You were trying to see,
yeah, totally trying to game it. You were so correct.
Went against the grain, man. You got it. You should just take the wisdom for the wisdom, right?
Exactly. So great pick there. Fishing, I don't do it too often, but when I do, absolutely love it. Especially like because it's normally with my dad, and
we're going.
We're heading down to Florida next month, which is really cool. I think I told you that. well, now everyone else knows. So we're totally going to have some time on the pier, you know, just casting the line a little bit, and dude, maybe catching a little fish, all, you know, three generations, which will be really cool. So
what I like about that too is, like, fishing is definitely, you know, one of those one activities that is absolutely enhanced by pipe smoking, but I feel like would be this might be a little heresy. This might be a little unorthodox to say, but people might like, they don't get the pitchforks out, but I feel like it might be not as enhanced if you were smoking a cigar. In fact, I want to say, like, cigar smoking might actually, when you're comparing it to pipe smoking with in fishing or cigar smoking and fishing, I really do feel like there's just something about the pipe that is just made to be with fishing. I don't know. Something about that acrylic stem,
right,
biting down on it, clenching it, and you know, I don't know. I don't know. That's just kind of a thought I had. And I wouldn't get the same value out of, you know, smoking a cigar, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to boost up my pick when I already don't need to, because you already gassed me up. So let's go into round four, man. What's going to be your pick for this round?
All right. Round four is going to be a little, I don't think it's against the grain, but I don't think it's with the grain per se. But
so it's changing the grain.
Which you can't do. So it's just not moving either direction. It's just staying still. And this is smoking a pipe while making a pipe. Smoking a pipe while making a pipe. Okay. So I'm thinking an artisan pipe smoker here. Shout out to all my artisans, our artisans out there. And one of the main reasons I'm choosing this is because I have a pipe from our great friend, Stephen Cashwell. Adam's talked about the pipe he acquired from him at the Chicago show. And the last pipe, that's not true. The second to last pipe I have acquired, it was before the Vegas show. It was at the Smitty Summer event. It was a little poker. Little sitter poker from Stephen Cashwell, and that pipe is also the style that he uses as his workshop pipe to smoke while he is making a pipe. And that is one of my favorite pipes, maybe my favorite pipe that I have. A lot of great memories. I know a lot of people aren't out there making pipes and smoking them, but I don't know. I might have to commandeer just the idea of maybe woodworking here. I don't know if you know, that's within
the
rules.
I think that flies.
But I've done projects in my, you know, kind of in the garage, just hanging out, and I've smoked my pipe, and it's a great area, because typically with a project, you're not moving too much. You're able to go slow. You're able to puff at a good cadence, and it is relaxing, and I think that I am, like, more apt to not get frustrated because I don't want my pipe to go out. Whereas if I don't have a pipe, you know, the screw doesn't go in, or, you know, I hit my hand or whatever it is, I, you know, can, like, do whatever and get angry and all that. But I'm more tame with a pipe in the mouth, and things seem to go a little smoother and a little better. So.
Yeah, you know, I started off not liking that pick, because maybe I'm just not good at it, I'm just not. Obviously, I've never made a pipe, and I don't necessarily plan to per se. But I've tried woodworking specifically while smoking a pipe, and it was just really difficult for me. But that's in the context of I was building, like, a workbench, so it required me to go up and down. I'm picking up, you know, pretty large 2x4s and nailing them together. And so it was not conducive for pipe smoking in my experience, which I am using to kind of bring your pick down a little bit. But you see these pipe makers, you know, a lot of them are smoking their pipe while they're making a pipe.
Yeah.
I think this might be actually pretty good if you're able to, like, put that bowl and maybe, like, the chuck, and it's gotten those jaws or something. Maybe not the chuck, but some kind of jaw system. I don't know anything about woodworking. And then to sand, I feel like sanding while smoking might be a pretty solid option. Maybe not getting into, like, the I wouldn't want to sandblast a pipe while smoking a pipe. That would be pretty difficult. Even kind of rusticating might be a little bit difficult because you really, really want to focus in on that. But I would imagine there are certain aspects of making the pipe. Maybe not the initial pieces where you're going to get up, you know, move to this cut, this saw. Now you got to change this piece, that piece, or whatever. But I think there's some ways that woodworking could become, you know, good with pipe smoking. To kind of cap off this particular piece, I had mentioned it several episodes ago, many episodes ago, whatever it was. My grandfather on Get Wife's side, he gifted me this hand carving set. He does what's called wood spirits, or he makes an ornament every Christmas for folks within the family. And he's the guy. He does it every single year, all handmade. And he got me a set. And I think that would be something to sit at a desk and smoke a pipe. That would be really, really enjoyable to do. It'd be something that would enhance that experience. So yeah, I like the pick. I'd like to hear from the artisan makers or any of the woodworkers out there. How realistic is it? Because I've always thought watching the YouTubes and the Instagrams, seeing people, pipe makers make pipes while smoking, I was like, this has to be for the fact that they're pipe guys, right? Like, are they actually enjoying this, or are they smoking too hot, or they just, I don't know. I'm very curious. I always kind of questioned it just because I know I'm not very well versed at it. But again, that's pretty naive of me to think, oh, because I'm bad at it, this guy who knows how to make them isn't good at it. But there you go. I like that pick, man, for the most part. So I'm going to go with a good one here, in my own opinion. I'm going to go with, I have some good picks left. I have some really, really good picks left. Here we're going to go with pipe smoking. This is probably going to be my strongest grasp, but I still think I might beat out your pick here. We're going to go with pipe smoking and chess. What combo goes good with relaxing, smoking a pipe, and getting thoughtful? But you're laughing. This is a great pick. This is a great pick. You know, the intellectual stimulation of a game, right, combined with, you know, the meditative pace of pipe smoking when your opponent is taking way too long. You're just sitting there puffing. You're analyzing your next move. You're trying to analyze what he's going to do, then trying to counteract with what could be and what might be, and then in the end, what will never have had been. I think this is the perfect kind of combo for, quote, a sport, right? I would kind of loosely call chess a sport. I think some of the masters out there would like to think it is. I mean, it's the absolute ultimate mental sport, right? Other than like a math off, math. What are those called? Decathons.
Trigonometries.
Remember the like the school you'd send all your students to the something a thon, yeah. The math-a-thon. I don't know. That sounds so like not a math guy. But I am also not really a chess guy. I've been very bad at it. But I feel like, you know, get that pipe in your hand, maybe even a church warden or just something kind of clencher, whatever it is. You know, I think I'm thinking about like a good Savinelli church warden. I think they have some really, really good church wardens over there. But yeah, you know, that strategic planning, you're contemplating each move, and it's like a timeless tradition of these two classic arts, right? Chess and pipe smoking. I think that's a great pick. Does it go in the fourth round? Maybe not, but I think my bangers for 5, 6, and 7 are going to beat it all the same.
Dang. I'm not a fan of this pick. I'm not a fan.
Really? Okay.
I get the idea of it. I get the idea of it, but maybe it's because I don't play chess too often, and maybe I should. Whereas, I feel like
we both should. Maybe every time we get together, let's play one game of chess, smoke a pipe.
I'm down.
It's so fun.
That's a good idea. I do love chess. I also love Scrabble. Like Scrabble's, we got one of the cool Scrabble boards. Like the it's like a nice wooden one. It turns and like,
ooh, yeah, oh, nice.
It's a good one. It's a really good one. So, yeah.
See, yeah. Imagine smoking it. Well. Yeah, I mean, same thing.
Same sort of concept. I agree.
Okay, so how about that? So as we extrapolated pipe making to woodworking, you know, with the emphasis on pipe making, mine's the emphasis on chess, but like other kind of smaller, thoughtful board games. I think Scrabble would be another good one.
Yeah.
But in terms of like what pairs better when we talk chess and pipe smoking, I think that's a combo that goes quite well.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Fair enough. Still not a fan of the pick, but all right. Round number 5. All right. I'm going to kind of walk back from like things and situations to a very specific item. And I am going to go with, in my, round number five, I'm going to go with Tullamore Dew. I'm going to go with Tullamore Dew here. And that's like a, that's a whiskey, Irish whiskey, for those of you who don't know.
That's a good one.
Might even go more specific, and it's the 18 year that we had.
That's a good one.
That was probably one of the best drinks I've ever had in my life. It was so good. The honey was very good as well, which may pair better with a pipe. But yeah, I'm going to go the Tullamore Dew 18 year. I know a lot of people probably haven't had that. But nonetheless, I think Tullamore itself just captures the idea. So a great, great combination of a whiskey and pipe. I think that they kind of go historically hand in hand, at least some sort of alcoholic beverage, I would say.
For sure.
In this case, Irish whiskey, just the smoothness of whiskey, kind of the in conjunction with sometimes the harshness of a pipe, at least the smoke, it coats the tongue. It brings out different flavors, I would say, especially when you have tobaccos like, I don't know, you know, flannel coffee, a little blackthorn shillelagh that already has that that whiskey coating, that whiskey taste to it. And I would even go with a lot of the aromatics out there that aren't necessarily heavy, droopy aromatics, like maybe some of the cherries and the vanillas.
Okay, damn. You're talking me into this one.
Yeah, all right. And so the conjunction with the kind of the strength of an Irish whiskey, you know, in combination with these nice lighter aromatics, maybe even a little Bob's in there, a little Bob's.
Mm-hmm. Now
I'm just trying to convince you. I think that would be a great matchup with pipe smoking and some Tullamore Dew.
Yeah, even though you were blowing smoke, even though you were just blowing smoke towards the end of that, I think it worked, man. I was going to say I didn't love this pick. I mean, I love Tullamore. I think it's a great combo.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we think of alcohol, specifically the spirits, it can be tough. You and I are the first people to admit that that's why I like this pick in the fifth round too. But we're the first ones to admit that it doesn't necessarily enhance the experience in terms of flavor, right? It's probably a detriment. There's a degradation of the flavor of that tobacco from that high proof alcohol. But that doesn't necessarily mean it takes away from the experience and therefore isn't a bad pairing. I actually like that. You could have chose a beer, you could have chose like a soda, but here you're specifically like you drink these, you sip these, you know, you can have it neat. You can have it at straight up. You're just having a little sip of it, or you can, you know, enhance the flavor with maybe like a glass, an ice cube, you know, something to cut it, maybe just a little bit of a water or something, like a little splash of water. And these things will make for a good experience, which I think meets our intent here for a good pairing. And again, by sipping it slowly, it's you're drawing out the enjoyment of both the drink, the pipe, and it is kind of a cascading feel of enjoyment. I like that pick, man. And what's good about specifically talking about Tullamore, one, it's my favorite Irish whiskey, but also the fact that it is an Irish whiskey. I will say at Chicago, I had a couple high proof bourbons, I think, or ryes that folks had let me try. And man, I'm sorry to my friends who gave me some. I can't do that stuff. It's not good to me. It hurts my mouth. It actually I don't enjoy it. But you might. But the thing about Irish whiskey, it is a lower proof when it comes to the ryes out there and the scotches and the whatever else out there. Like it's like a 40%, 42%. That could be wrong, but I feel like that sounds about right. It's a lower proof, 80 proof, 90 proof. Yeah, that makes what I'm trying to get at. But I like it, man. I really like it. I have one that I think we all know is coming, and I'm really gonna hope Drew Sakai does me a solid and doesn't take it from me, because I'm not gonna use it in this round. But I think one I'm gonna go with here is a pretty interesting one. I think this is a great fifth round pick. I could probably put it in the sixth round. But the fifth one I'm going to go with is very opposite to this one, and it's more of an immersive experience. And we're going to go with historical reenactments / like Renaissance fairs, some kind of you're going to an event thing, and you're embodying an old character, I guess. I think this is a very, very overlooked thing in the pipe community, but there is an aspect of pipe smoking that goes with these kind of historical reenactments, like these, I'm talking like a Civil War battle, Revolutionary War battle, a lot of the Civil War stuff. And sometimes, you know, like even like the World War I, World War II stuff. But when we think of Renaissance fairs, you know, they're in every major city these days. So whether you're doing the historical, battle or doing the medieval thing, you're either going to find a church warden or a clay pipe and maybe a corncob pipe. And it does really set you apart. I've gone to one, maybe two Renaissance fairs. I think two Renaissance fairs. And I was like the guy because I had a pipe. I had my long church warden. Everyone thought it was pretty cool. But when you look at the reenacting side of folks, again, those historical battles, at least me as a pipe smoker, I'm always like, oh, let me look at the dude who's smoking a good old clay and knows the tobacco. He's smoking a Virginia tobacco. And you know, there's a detriment to this pick in the fifth round, right? Before I'll get to it right now before you hit me with it. Some of those times they're just for looks. They're just for just for the costume, if you may. But I do love seeing, good pipe with a historically accurate pipe and in a historically accurate time period. Again, thinking more of like the Civil War reenactments. Is it right to say, oh, this elf looking goblin person smoking a church warden, is that quote historically accurate? Maybe not, but it's definitely one of those fun things. And there's a lot of we think of a Floggle Works, they do like a church warden pipe. We think of Danny Boy pipes. They're at many of the Renaissance fairs, and they sell like, I think it's like 200,000 church wardens a year. Jeez. At these, it's a crazy
wild
amount, literally. And it's like, who, obviously I would say 90% of those people probably aren't actually smoking them, but they do give you the option. They're like, hey, like we can't sell tobacco here, but this is where you would get it. This is what, there's a little pamphlet or whatever. I think this is a good pair, man. I think whenever I go to a Renaissance fair, which is not all the time, but whenever I do, I got to make sure that my church warden is, kind of in my leather belt or whatnot.
Right. I like that one. I've never been to either historical reenactment or kind of a Ren fair, is it called, right? That's correct. Mm-hmm. Renaissance fair. But I think it fits. I think that's a great place to smoke a pipe. And yeah, I don't have much to say because I can't really
and it's an odd
talk
one.
About it too much. Yeah,
for the folks who like it was, I had to push my comfort level, step out of my comfort zone to go to one. And there's going to be folks out there to be like, man, what are these nerds talking about? I hear you. I kind of was in that camp, and then I was like, wow, this is actually pretty cool. The Renaissance Fair was just a bunch of dudes like crushing giant turkey legs, big burly beards, smoking pipes, crushing beards.
I hate turkey legs.
I do too, but it was still like a cool thing.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
There's not good. Yeah, turkey, it's not tasty. I like turkey, but like if I'm going to go to a fair, I want to eat like nachos or like a burger or,
yeah,
I don't know, some chowder. I don't know. Like, I got like a turkey leg to get the turkey leg, and I like took like one or two bites. I'm like, it tastes like dry smoke.
Yeah. I had had one this weekend, and there was also like some just like chicken wings there. Dude, the wings were exponentially better than the turkey leg.
Exactly. Right.
Exponentially better.
Yeah.
So good. But all right. Round six. We're nearing the end here. We're in the home stretch. Round six, I'm gonna say smoking your tobacco pipe at a pipe show. At a pipe show.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I'm glad I like this one.
Yeah. I don't think this is a round seven. Even though this could be a Tom Brady situation here.
It could be.
It could be. But I think smoking your pipe at a pipe show, we do talk a lot about smoking cigars at pipe shows, but probably about 90% or more of the people are smoking pipes at pipe shows. And you get your new pipe, you want to smoke it. You get new tobacco, you want to try it. you know, there's the tobacco bar of all the aged tobaccos. You got to try something. Guess the only way you can do that is with a pipe. And I think this is just, I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier or like choose it earlier, but I think that this is a great six round, very, very solid pick here.
Oh, yeah. Underrated.
Mm-hmm. Very underrated. I think it's one of the ones that kind of slipped through the cracks here. And, you know, our team, our guys were kind of looking around like, why has no one picked this one yet? So smoking a pipe at a pipe show, whether that's Vegas or Chicago, or even I'll go so much to say as a the smaller get togethers that we've been having, at the Smitty's, at the Sutliff event that we had. So yep. Pipe show.
I like it, man. Even though I think literally in one of the last couple episodes you said we don't smoke pipes at pipe shows.
I know.
But you're right, man. I think this is good for us because this last I had talked about it in the What's Up and Smoke. I smoked probably 9 seconds of a cigar and threw the whole thing out. And I was so happy leaving that, despite crapping on, you know, Pipes, Pours, and Pals take on smoking cigars at pipe shows. I left that show feeling very happy that I was regretting not bringing more pipes to smoke. I literally only brought two in my rotation. And then again, I did bring all my Peats, but those weren't to smoke. Those were just for the display. And then I wrapped them back up, put them all back in my bag. But I was bummed. I was like, man, I wish I had another pipe. And when I get a new pipe, I really do, like you said, I want to smoke it with the artisan. So I didn't smoke my Cashwell pipe because I didn't have the opportunity to sit down with them. And I was like, I don't want to do it just because I'm missing the fact that I don't have another pipe on me. I don't want to just make this a non-meaningful thing. Yeah. So when it comes to breaking in pipes, that's important to us here at the Get Pipe Podcast. But I like it, man. I think that's a great pick because you're right, dude. What better place? Come on. As much as I love giving them, you know, poking the bull over there and they're good friends over there on their podcast. But man, it's right. You're right there. You got a pipe show. You got to smoke a pipe. You just got your brand new pipe. You get to smoke your rare pipes, your cheapo pipes, whatever it is. It's a win-win-win smoke a pipe at a pipe show. So, okay. I like this. This is good picks in the sixth round. I'm going to go with, I'm torn between using this one in the seventh round or the sixth round. But I'm going to save the most meaningful one to me for the seventh. But I'm going to go with a pretty good one here. This is a good hammer drop, I think. I think you're going to really like this one, man. This is going to be smoking your pipe, right? So pipe smoking and watching the family unwrap presents Christmas morning.
Ooh.
That's a great combo, right? It's not something that I think in this day and age we see too much. It's not something that realistically producer guys doing, Get Pipes doing.
Yeah.
But the aesthetic there to, you know, as we're young men, right? You guys know this. A lot of people don't listen to us because we're young men. So thank you to all of you who do. But as we are growing, right? You can even see how we've grown as men, as boys. And I'm not necessarily into men, but just like we've grown, right? And as I'm growing, right? I'm starting to see that it's becoming more like the specialness of Christmas and these holidays and birthdays and whatever it is, Easter's is about the people around you, right? We didn't really celebrate Easter growing up, but I wanted to make a point to go home and celebrate it with family that I would otherwise not have probably paid too much attention to. You know, as we get to holidays, and I think, you know, really leaning on this pick because a producer guy is, he has kids, he doesn't care about what he's getting on Christmas. You know, like not too many years ago removed, I mean, I was probably very excited to see what I was unwrapping on. I mean, maybe not too many years ago, but like last 10, a decade ago, that's not too far away. I was like, hey, what am I going to get on Christmas? You know, I guess I was 17. Yeah, I was kicking ass. I was like, hell yeah, what am I getting on Christmas? Hell, 5 years ago when I came home for college, I hope parents give me something cool. You know what I mean? But now we're kind of transitioning to this. We're going past this young adult life and into our mid adult life. And I'm like, man, I don't really care about those things. And it's really about that experience of the folks around us. And, you know, I don't have kids, but I can imagine watching the kids open up the Bluey toy or the video game system or, you know, the new bike, whatever it happens to be, the football, because he wants to be a football star. he wants to be in the next NFL draft in 20 years or whatever. But yeah, I think that could be special to kind of, you did all the work, you did all the wrapping, you did all the planning, the preparing, and you're just getting to sit there in maybe your leather chair, smoking your pipe. It's a chilly morning, and you're watching the family unwrap, and you're watching that freaking joy. You're watching that freaking joy to the world. Remember that?
Joy to the world.
What song was that? I think it was called Joy to the World. 12%ers will remember that one. But yeah, man, I think this is I love this pick. I just think of, this is the aesthetic I want, man, with my pipe. I want to be the dad one day to sit back, smoke my pipe, and just watch the fam enjoy and yeah, have a great holiday.
Okay. All right. That's a good, I think it's a good pick. It is generally a good pick, but I think I just like wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? Like in my mind, I already struggled to keep a pipe lit as it is. So I'm just going to be like trying to keep it lit, get frustrated, try to light it, do all this stuff. So to me, I think it would be more of a hindrance and a distraction than it would be something productive to the situation, if that makes sense. For me, at least. Maybe not. Maybe because I'd be inside and it would be like there wouldn't be as much wind or whatever it is. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah. I think what the people decide, wrong. Though. Yeah, I think. I think I nailed it. I love this. I won't be having those struggles, and I would love to see, the old fam enjoy. But let's see what got. What do you got to counter?
Yeah. Well, round 7, baby. We're on the last round here, and all right. I don't think this is a big guns. I don't think this is a Tom Brady here, but I think it's fitting to kind of round out this draft hole we got here. And it's going to be smoking your pipe smoking while watching the sunset. Watching the sunset. I'm thinking like on the beach. I know it's hard to smoke pipes on the beach, so maybe I'll change it to like just like maybe on the lake or something, whatever it may be, but just watching the sunset while smoking your pipe. I love sunsets. I love sunrises, but I think I love the sunsets more. It's a great time to come around with family and friends, and similar to a fire, except we're watching the big fire in the sky go down. I think that this is a way to close out the day, relax, unwind, have a nice drink, a warm drink, a cool drink, whatever it may be, but you are celebrating kind of the conclusion to what hopefully was a really good day. And it's the mark of that. And obviously a sunrise is the mark of the new day, but yeah, I think something about a sunset, just brings me a lot of joy, and it's very beautiful. It just is. It's such a magical thing that we get to experience here on Earth. And so I'm going pipe smoking and watching the sunset.
Okay. Dude, I love that. That's actually a great final pick. You nested that one well, and I think you kind of nailed it. Like you're having like, maybe it's the good cap of a day, but maybe you're having a rough day, and that's your way of kind of redeeming. Like this is the redemption hour. And you had mentioned maybe the beach, but I still think the beach kind of works, because we know that like as dusk comes, the winds, I don't live on the beach. I don't live on the coast, but in my experience towards the end of the night is when like the wind's not as crazy. It's more during the day, during the mornings. Maybe not the early mornings, but that kind of cap from the early in the evening, there's kind of like this lull, this silence, this quiet that I think would be good for sitting there smoking your pipe. But yeah, maybe it's like a sunset hike. Maybe you do this really long hike up into the mountains, and that could be very, very special watching that, that go down. So I love that pick for you, man. I think that's a really, really good one. I love my pick. And I also, the best part about this pick, man, is there's no way I know you long enough and you know me long enough that you could have taken this. And I know that you could have taken this. And I know that you know that I know that you would have known that you could have taken this, but you didn't because you're my friend. It makes me feel really happy. I'm going to go with what probably everyone has been waiting for. Smoking a pipe with a pint of Guinness at your favorite pub. What better combo to me? I don't know if there is one. So I'm glad I got to smack this into the round seven. This is my Tom Brady pick. You know, I think in a world where you really can't smoke in pubs anymore, that's like every time I go to a beautiful pub, man, like, you know, imagine yourself in this, you know, you got this cozy ambiance, it's your favorite pub. It's dimly lit. The interior's got some wood furnishings. There's pictures all over the wall, historical, you know, and then there's random pictures of like cats and maybe turtles or something. There's old signs, you know, an arrow pointing to Dublin that says 9,000 kilometers that way. you know, there's a merry light that is in a public house. And whether you're there for the drink or there for the food or there for the friends, I think it's a beautiful place. And it's one of my favorite places. And I will tell you, as much as I love those, there's like this mini pinhole in my heart with the idea, with the fact that trying to wrestle with the idea that I will never be able to smoke a pipe in there. But that doesn't mean that it isn't a great pipe pairing location. But the good caveat here is most places you can smoke a pipe outside, right? Because it's a, you know, good old US of A. And a lot of these pubs do have a very welcoming outdoor area. You can bring your pint outside and just enjoy, man. And I think that is like the aesthetic that I love most on this planet is being with good quote home cooked food, which is good pub food, a nice, perfectly poured Irish stout, the Guinness, the best beer in the world, a good pipe of tobacco, and then maybe some good camaraderie, good friends. But or you could just be by yourself. Many times I would go to the old Doyle's Public House when my friends were out or get wife was working, just have a pint, you know, good shepherd's pie and sit and smoke outside. It was quite wonderful. So I think that makes my perfect list. So I know when you said Tullamore, I know you very easily could have said Guinness, and I think there was something in you that was like, okay, I'm gonna let him have this one. You knelt so I could stand. So thank you for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. There was at one point where I had thought like the bar or the pub, but I agree. It's real, recognize real. And I think you had to take that. I couldn't take that from Get Piped, man. I just couldn't. And, I don't know if that necessarily sunk the deal. I'm really interested what the people think on this one. Cause there were some, not necessarily round seven. You took round seven, like no doubt about that. Like that's for sure. But I think the overall, the overall draft is up for question. I think it really could be.
So we put in the people. I think we let the people decide then.
Okay. We do let the people decide. So for those of you listening on Spotify, the Q&A at the end of the episode will have, will be changed to Adam or Nick. Got to figure out how to do that. I don't think I can do it beforehand, but once it goes live, I'll try to remember. So stand by for that. And yeah, for everyone else, go to the content section on our Discord. Link in the show notes to that Discord. Got just recently surpassed 1,100 people, which is awesome. Shout out to all of you. And then, you know, even send it to the good old email, show@getpiped.co, to say who won this second edition of the Draft Hole.
Segments. Ow!
Let's go. All right. We got 2 segments today. As always, we got a little blind tier list and a little bit of over under. Haven't had that one a little bit. But before we get into overrated, underrated, let's get into blind tier list. For those of you who do not know what this is a not necessarily pipe smoking related segment. I think every time we've done it, it has not been pipe smoking related. This is where Adam knows the topic of the tier list, but he doesn't know the actual items within it. So there are 3 categories. There's smashing, which is the best, highest tier. There's humdrum, which is in the middle. And then there's, of course, arse, which is the bottom tier. The thing about the blind tier list is he does not know what's coming next in the specific topic. There's 6 total things. He'll put 2 in each, smashing, humdrum, and arse, but he doesn't know what is coming next. Today, we're hitting the sweets. We're going to hit some chocolate candies today.
Oh, yum.
It's all majority chocolate related candies. If they have pretty much chocolate coating and it's known historically as a chocolate candy, then it will be able to be in here. So I think we'll get right into it with this one. Again, we got 6 overall. He doesn't know where we're starting or where we're ending. So the first one we're doing is Twix.
Okay, dude, this is Get Wife's favorite chocolate.
Really?
So if you guys can remember this, let's work together here.
Okay.
The next pipe event that Get Wifed is at, I'm telling you, if you bring her a single Twix, don't go nuts, right? Because then it's like, okay, this is weird. But if you were to bring one single Twix, or not a single, or I guess the duo, the double, whatever it is, don't open it.
Twix.
That would, I'm really hoping there's no way she can hear me saying this. She's watching some television in the bedroom, but that would be amazing. That would make her freaking, her whole show. I'm trying to get wife Instagram handle, and she's like, "What the hell am I going to post?" Right, like I don't smoke a pipe or anything. And I was like, "You could just like troll me; it'd be fun." But
the anyway,
I also don't know how much I love the idea of Get Wife making a. I don't know. It'd be cool. Could be maybe not. Anyway, she loves Twix, but you know what? Get Pipe don't love Twix. I think I'm gonna go. This is tough. Like, you never know where this is going to go. Are you going to come at me with some crazy bad? Like, it's not a bad. It's not arse, right? It's not gross. But, man, the amount of crunch is, there's too much crunch to, like, the very thin chocolate. The caramel's, I don't know. I don't like that crunch too much. It's too much cookie, not enough other things. I'm going to go in humdrum. And I don't love that because I think there's probably going to be a lot better options. But I don't think it's bad enough to be an arse. But. Yeah, it's I'm never going for the Twix myself.
Okay. All right.
Let's hope that plays off.
Yeah, let's hope so. Next one, we're going good old M&Ms.
Okay, see, yeah, there's so many candies out there. Can I go back? Can I put Twix in arse? Is that allowed?
No.
No, once you say the next one, I can't go back. Okay, that's the new rule.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, M&Ms are good. This is tough. I now do I put them in humdrum? It ain't no way is it smashing. You know, I love M&Ms, but it's definitely better than Twix. So I gotta go humdrum. I hate that I took the 2 right there. Twix should be in the arse, but okay. Humdrum for the M&Ms.
Okay. All right. M&Ms in the humdrum. All right. Next one. We're going with Whoppers.
Ooh, straight to arse. Dude, this is perfect, actually, because the problem with Whoppers is what Twix has, but it's just pure. That's all the Whopper is. That's perfect. It's too much crunch. Like, when you crunch into these things, it's like, I don't know, I feel like I could hear it in my ears, right? Whoppers are not good. It's like, how do we make the M&Ms, but way worse? Oh, yeah, let's just put crunch and no Whoppers arse. Anyway, that's all great. Right. Okay, I'm liking where we're at. What we got?
All
right. We got
this one's. This is. This got to be so easy. Reese's.
Okay. That's good. It's going to happen. We're going to put you right in smashing. This might be the best candy of all time. I don't know. I really don't know, but it's quite possible. There's so many different variants. They're all absolutely smashing. Find me a humdrum Reese's. I don't know if you can. Find me a find me an Arse Reese's. I doubt you can, but okay.
Not possible. Not possible. All right. Next one. Hershey's chocolate bar, the original.
Dang. That's a good bar, man. Is it smashing? This is a tough one. I think historically, you know, you're going up against like the, I hate to make this analogy, I really do. You're going up against like the New York Yankees, right? As much as I hate the Yankees and forever will, you gotta respect real, kind of how producer guy did. You know, I respect the fact that they are very dominant. The Hershey bar is the OG, right? They made chocolate bars cool. It's the classic chocolate bar. But when you look at it on the surface, it's a chocolate bar.
It's just
not a lot to it. You know, it's, but I'm still going with that over the Twix, man. I guess I got, man, that hurts. Because what if, like, I got to make a decision here.
Smashing ours.
I'm going to go ours, man. Nah. You know, there's in a modern day, there's so many better things than the Hershey bar. I hate to do this to you, Hershey. I really do. But, you know, you got like the cookies and cream one. Even that's better than you.
Yeah, that is good.
You know, so, okay.
All right. And, well, the last one goes into smashing. I think you'll agree. I know I would agree. It is Snickers.
Oh, this might be, this is almost the perfect list.
Almost. It almost is.
Only Twix with Hershey is the only change.
Yeah.
This is a perfect list to me outside of that, man. Snickers are, I told the story at Ranger School. Maybe I didn't tell it, but I won't get into it now. But I had my very first Snickers bar at Ranger School. That's a tale for another time. But wow, did I think, I used to think I hated them. And I'll tell you, when you have it at Ranger School, it becomes your favorite candy bar. So that is one of my top favorite candy bars of all time. That's a one candy bar with nuts that I think is phenomenal. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, this is a good list. So producer guy, go over what we got.
All right. For our list in smashing, we have Reese's and Snickers. Great picks. Great picks there. Humdrum, we have Twix and M&M's and an Arse. We have Whoppers and Hershey bars.
Okay.
Yeah, again, I would have to pretty much agree with it besides Twix. Yeah, I guess Twix. I do like Twix though. I like the crunch.
Yeah, I don't like that's why I don't think it's Arse by any means.
I know.
You know, if you put a Twix in front of me, I'll eat it. You know, I'd prefer other things, many other things. But what are we ranking this? I'd say this is like this might be an A minus.
Okay. B. I'm gonna say B. Yeah, probably closer to the B plus side.
Because it's with like a B plus.
Yeah, it ain't perfect, but it ain't on. It's still good. B plus, that's a good grade.
You know what? I don't know. Right. Actually, I mean, if you're looking at this objectively, Reese's, Snickers, Twix, M&M's, Whopper, Hershey bars. I think most people would agree with that list.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with A minus on this one.
Okay. All right.
Because more people are going to like the Twix over the Hershey's, I would say. So,
right.
I like it. I think we crushed this one.
Yeah. Well, if you got any more topics for the blind tier list, send them my way. Or our way. You can just send us topics if you want, or all of it. If you're just sending us topics, show@getpipe.co or the content section on the Discord. If you want to send everything, send them directly to me. Great to do that on Instagram @GPP_producerguy, or you can do it on Discord direct messages. Our second segment for the day, second and last, is a little bit of over under, and I think these are some repeats, but we've been doing this for long enough that I think people will appreciate it, especially our new listeners. Over under is a topic where Adam rates things based on his own opinion if they are overrated or underrated, and over under is always pipe smoking related, and we always do three. These are all submitted by our wonderful pipe smoking community, our wonderful galactic Get Pipe Pipe Club. our 12 percenters. And you don't even have to be in the GGPPC. That acronym still always gets me. We've had plenty of folks email into us as well. But today, we got three from our good friend, our great friend, one of the OG gangsters of the Galactic Get Pipe Club.
Original gangsta gangsters.
Smoke Baca, our good friend Don, he sent in some the other day. And again, they're kind of oldies but goodies. I think it's great to look back at them and discuss them, especially for all of our new listeners. So, for number one, ghosted pipes. Are these overrated or underrated? Yeah.
And I still think this could be. Is it? Are we saying like? I guess you got to elaborate. Do pipes ghost? Is that how much should I have to worry about it? Is it how overrated, underrated? Is it when your pipe is ghosted?
I think it's the first one. Like, is ghosting? Do you think the
should
idea
you be
of
concerned
ghost,
about it?
Yeah. Should you be concerned about it?
Yeah, I think mega overrated, and I will die on this hill. Unless you're smoking specifically Captain Black Grape, which you're probably not, unless you're at the Chicago Pipe Show and you wanted to buy an ounce for $5 or you bought a can for $50, you're smoking Frost Rustica, which was a blend that came from our friends over there at the Grey Woody podcast, Nate and Eugene, with their Frosty Mint with Rustica. Unless you're smoking something like Frosty Mint or something super, super grapey, probably not going to... ghost too much. And yeah. And I will die on this hill. I think I can say that from a position of having smoked so much tobacco over so many different pipes. Maybe my palate is just forever lesser than that of the majority, but I really do feel like, you know, when hobbies are small, people buy into them. And when people buy into a hobby, they really want to extrapolate and expand upon that hobby. And this, I feel like ghosting became one of those things in the forums and the groups and the pages that was like, oh, we have a thing to talk about. We have a thing to make a quote rule. Oh, you can't smoke English in your aromatic pipes. You can't smoke an aromatic in your Virginia pipe. Like, it's going to ghost. And there's some value in buying into your hobby and having fun with it and adding to like the quote rules and do's and do nots. But I just think this one's malarkey. I think this one's a big old, you know,
Bologna.
Wahoozy. You know what I mean? I just think I've never, if anything, sometimes I'll smoke if I smoke an aromatic blend in my view, and I smoke an English tobacco or a burley tobacco in that pipe that I smoke that aromatic blend many days later, many weeks later. There is some remnants, some whispers, some like you're asking for the cat to come over, that is very enjoyable because I like those blends. So I get like a little bit of like a enhanced vanilla, maybe just for like out of every 20 puffs, I might get it on the retrohale of one of those. And then I might not come back again. You know, it's so subtle, but it actually enhances the experience. But when we think about ghosting, what does that mean? It's like you put your cherry tobacco in your pipe. And now you smoke a burley for the rest of your life and you're forever tasting the cherry. That's just not happening. It's just not happening. I will die on this hill. This is my one thing that all of you, new guys, old timers, whoever it might be, old timers who are new guys, you know, whoever it is, doesn't matter. I point your pitchforks at me. I'm ready to take it. Overrated, overrated, overrated.
Dang. I love that. I love when you get passionate about it. Something being overrated. But our next one, number two, big bag tobacco. So that's like kind of our cheaper things we got. You know, it's like 1 pound for like $12. What did Smoke Baca say? He had talked about the idea of our pound sold for under $15, brands like OHM, Admiral's Choice, Cherokee, etc.
Yeah, man, I never want to like ditch on, like kind of dump on, you know, be like, oh, there's better things out there. We're better than that. You know, because tobacco is tobacco. If you're smoking an old, you know, kind of tobacco like that, W, win. Good for you. Hell yeah. But I do think it's overrated, right? Like it's, and that's hard to say because it's so underrated. Like no one's really smoking those anymore. But at the same time, people are because they're still selling and they're mass produced and they're sold in so many different small convenience stores and tobacco shops. A lot of those like vape cigar shops, they'll have these pipe tobacco blends. But it's a cheap stuff. I think when you come from it from the context of listening to the Get Pipe podcast, you're an enthusiast. I think our enthusiasts deserve a little bit better with the money that they're, you know, that they've worked for. I think in this context, it's overrated. I would love to point you towards, you know, the Burley, the London Burley from Mac Baron for $13.75 or whatever the hell it is for 3.5 ounces. You're getting a hell of a deal. You're getting hell of a tobacco that's leagues better than, I just got to be honest, than all of those cheap tobacco blends. But that doesn't say they don't have their place. The place is very small, very, very small. But yeah, I got to stick to my guns. I don't want to become off as an elitist, but I got to be a man of my, I got to be a man of me. Get piped. I'm going to say overrated there.
All right. I appreciate it. And our last one, rehydrating tobacco.
This is another good one. I'm tempted to say overrated, but that would almost come off too elitist for my own liking. So I think I'm going to go properly rated. I think I could even go underrated because this is a great tool. It really is. But that said, with, you know, my brain, I'm on two sides of this this coin right here. So rehydrating tobacco, your tobacco is super dry. You want to smoke it. You want all those flavors. Easy option is just to rehydrate. There's many methods. We should do a smoke seminar on it, but it's possible. Look it up. That is a good thing. You just saved your money, you just saved your tobacco, and now you're happy. Is the flavor going to be lesser? Very slightly. You will probably notice it, but it will still be slightly. But the other side of me is like, well, I don't need to get more. You know, tobacco is generally cheap. I don't think I should be buying it. I don't think I should open a tin, let it dry. Oh, I just got a new one. I don't want to come off as if I'm wasteful by any means, but there's a lot of... This is tough. You know, producer guy, help me out. I still got to be me. I have a tin of Dunhill Elizabethan mixture that's dry as all hell, and I've yet to dry it. And instead of drying it, I still have it. I haven't thrown it out. But instead of drying it, I just say, hey, let me just get another tin. I know I can't get the Dunhill version anymore, but this is another hill I'll die on. I really think that the Peterson mixtures are the exact same. This is from the same. It's literally the same thing. But outside of the age of it, but I'm like, I'd just rather smoke a new one. If I have like a bag of, you know, a lot of these, you go to LJ Peretti, you want to get 1 ounce of every single Burley they have, you're going to get like 12 bags or so. Some of those are going to go dry. It ain't worth rehydrating. Now, if you're that one guy who bought $180 Aragorn, from 2007 from me, very underrated. I'm rehydrating that tin and I'm not going to yell at me for, you know, selling them a quote, compromised tin that I had no idea, but I think because I'm so kind of torn on this one, I'm going to go properly rated. It's a great tool to use, very, very useful for those hard to get tobaccos, those old tobaccos, those tobaccos that you can't get anymore. But for regular production tobaccos, I would say, whatever, you know, maybe try it. If it works, it's good. If not, awesome, just get another tin, but let's go properly rated.
Okay. Well, that's been over under. If you got any more, send them to our Discord. That's the best place to do it. There's a specific over under channel in there for y'all to send it. And if you don't want to do that, if you're not all about the Discords, which I both understand and don't understand at the same time, you can send them to show@getpiped.co. my brother. It's the end of the episode, man. Already. Flew by. I think because I was having a lot of fun. This is a fun one. I really like the draft hole. It brings about good feelings in my body. I like it.
And, me too, man.
Yeah, it's fun to talk about these things. Have a little competition. I'm excited to hear what the community thinks about all of this. But until then, until the next time they get to hear from us, where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on YouTube.com for some of the premier YTPC pipe smoking content. But if you're not into the long form content, which would blow my mind if you're still listening to my podcast, but you can find me on the short form. That's Instagram at @get_piped. But if you follow me, make sure you follow my right hand man, GPP_producer guy. Lastly, you can join our ever growing galactic Get Piped Pipe Club. It's our Discord that has been, this has been a joy. I want to give a shout out to our moderators out there. We're talking Stacy. We're talking Andy. We're talking Kirk. You guys are my people. Thank you so much for all you do. And we've been having some bots lately, which is not cool. Wild. But that's, you know, part of the, you know, the old biz. That's showbiz, baby. But the mods are like the sword and the knights. They are on the night's watch. They have the blade out ready to go, and they will eradicate any bot that comes in. And it's just been a great place. Actually, someone just posted on there some crazy amount of tobacco. They're actually getting out of the hobby. And in our dealed section, we have a channel that you can purchase some rare tobaccos, or, you know, you get the latest on smoking pipe steels, tobacco pipe steels, whatever it is. But someone just posted a ton of tobacco. We're talking, you know, I'm not going to try to pitch it to you. If you want to be a part of the community, you can be a part of the community. If you don't want to, it's okay. But that is our Discord, the Galactic Get Pipe Pipe Club. Link will be in the show notes.
I love it. I love it. And while you're doing all that, while you're loving the podcast, while you're answering who won our draft hole, don't forget to rate and review the podcast. For all you Apple folks, give us a 5-star. For all you Spotify folks, give us a 5-star. For all the YouTube music, I think.
Ooh, something like that.
That's out there. For all the Audible, the single Audible gentleman that listens and left us a review.
I love that guy.
Thank you. You are awesome. But if you're on all those other platforms, it means a lot. If you can't rate or review, if you share the podcast, it really, really means a lot. There's no better marketing than word of mouth. So share it. Tell folks who just maybe sometimes want a good little laugh, a little lighthearted fun. And we love our pipe community. We love the people in the overall pipe community, but we especially love those who are in the Get Piped pipe community. Thank you all for all the support you have. But continue to share the pod with any and all pipe smokers of new age, old age, middle age, whatever it may be. But don't just share with the men. Share it with the women and the children too. But my good friend, Adam, Get Piped, Mr. GP, what are your wise words of wisdom this week?
Dude, this is a fun episode. I love the ones where we get to kind of go back and forth. Anyway, today's wisdom is going to be a little bit special. This is actually going to be somewhat wisdom-y. We're going with the grain here, or you could go with it or against it. And I actually stole this, so it's not coming from me. I'm not talking like I'm this all-knowing, all-being pipe guy. But I had a conversation with my friend, and he brought up a very interesting topic when we were chatting at his table. And it was the idea of talking back. When you're smoking, the pipe is talking back, and which I thought was like, whoa, this has got real hashtag deep. He's like, when you smoke a pipe, you're considering, you're thinking, you're reminiscing maybe about the day you had, the things you've done, and the pipe is like a way, the smoking the pipe is a way of talking back to you. You know, you get to think through those things. Think about the things you did right. Think about the things you did wrong. Think about the things you would have changed. And it's a great, you know, kind of nightcap to reflect. And we know that. We've always talked about pipe smoking is great for reflection. We're contemplative. Oh, thinking. Oh, yeah. Albert Einstein, you know. Like, but when you think about it in the context of talking back, like you're having a conversation with your mind, but it's through the vessel that is the pipe. I thought that was fascinating. I thought that was something that I really wanted to share with you guys. And yeah, I thought that was really, really cool. So next time you, something that you need to work through, take your pipe like you normally would. Think about it through that context. And we'll elaborate this on. This could be definitely a topic for an episode or a series or something in that nature. But yeah, that's kind of all I got. I was just on the forefront of my mind, and I wanted to bring it up to you guys. But there you go. There's your wisdom. But for now, I am off to save the pipe smoking world. But once again, I'm not sure how I'll pull it off. But until then, you've all just been piped. And until the next piping, we are out. What better combo to me? I don't know if there is one. So I'm glad I got to smack this into the round seven. This is my Tom Brady pick. I think in a world where you really can't smoke in pubs anymore, that's like every time I go to a beautiful pub, man, like picture this. You got like this dimly lit, there's a cozy ambiance at your favorite pub. It's a...
Damn.
Yeah, f-ing truck guy. F- you.
That's going into the end.
No, I can't. Actually, if you could,
I'll try to beep it.
If you can add that in, I don't know if you can do some magic.
I can.
That'd be great.